This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 313, for the weekend of February 2nd through February 4th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, this podcast where we talk about movies, TV, other stuff, as we feel like. Art, how's it going over there?
It's going good. A little tired, but hanging in there. Ready to see where this thing goes.
All right. So the first place we're going to go is we're going to talk about the box office for the previous weekend. So this is going to be for the weekend of January 26th through January 28th, 2018. So here's your top five. At number one, it's all yellow because the new release at number one is Maze Runner: The Death Cure at $24.2 million. At number two, we have Jumanji: Welcome to the Jungle, $16.1 million. And that's in its sixth week release. And to be honest, and to save myself time, the next three movies are also in their six-week release. At number three, jumping up from 23 to number three, we have Hostels at $10.1 million. At number four, we have The Greatest Showman at $9.6 million. And at number five, we have The Post at $9.1 million. And there is your top five.
Yeah, Hostels. Hostels is killing me. In that fantasy movie league, I went with The Shape of Water because I heard that it might be widening up because of all the Oscar buzz that it got. And it did. It went up. You know, they added 1,000 screens, and but it went up, you know, 170%. Whereas Hostels, what's that? Yeah, it went up one place. It went up one place, right. Yeah, Hostels added almost, you know, over 2,500 screens and jumped three places and made a bunch more money and dang nabbit. But hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you don't have to go all Yosemite Sam on us here. Go ahead.
I guess. So, yeah, you know, no big surprises there other than that one. Maze Runner managed to capture the top spot with a mere $24 million. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to move on over to what's coming out in the theater this weekend. And so Art is going to tell you about the one movie coming out in wide release.
So we have Winchester. We have Tomato Score not available yet. So they're doing that thing again, maybe, where they'll release it, you know, as we get closer. They're not trying to give anything away. 94% want to see it out of 1,199 user ratings. That is a very small number. Yeah, I don't know about that one. But here we go. Inspired by true events, on an isolated stretch of island 50 miles outside of San Francisco sits the most haunted house in the world. Built by Sarah Winchester, Academy Award winner Helen Mirren, heiress to the Winchester fortune, it is a house that knows no end. Constructed in an incessant 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week mania for decades, it stands 7 stories tall and contains hundreds of rooms. To the outsider, it looks like a monstrous monument to a disturbed woman's madness. But Sarah is not building for herself, for her niece, Sarah Snook, or for the troubled Dr. Eric Price, John Clark, whom she has summoned to the house. She is building a prison, an asylum for hundreds of vengeful ghosts. And the most terrifying among them have a score to settle with the Winchesters. Rated PG-13 for violence, disturbing images, drug content, some sexual material, and thematic elements. The genre is drama, mystery, suspense, science fiction, fantasy. Directed by Michael Spierig and Peter Spierig. Written by Michael Spierig, Peter Spierig, and Tom Vaughn. With no runtime listed. And all the main players have already been named in the body of the thing. So yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting story. I've heard a lot of different takes on it. I've heard that she was, that a fortune teller told her that she would live as long as the house was being built. I've heard that she, I'm trying to remember if she was the one who was an aspiring architect and lived in a time when that's not something women did. And so, you know, she had lots of money and a desire to see her things built. And so she had them built, and it had nothing to do with being crazy. So, obviously, it's obvious what bent they're taking in this particular story. And I don't really have any interest. I like Helen Mirren. She is she's an amazing actress, but I have no interest in this story.
Yeah, just by looking at the four reviewers that they have under the critic reviews on the Rotten Tomatoes page, they're all rotten. And we have a 1.5, 1.5, C+, 2 out of 5. From the stalwart media outlets, The Fright File, The Tracking Board, Movie Nation, and Sci-Fi Now. So, yeah, there hasn't been a whole lot in this past month, and February's not starting out great. That's getting me a theater other than Black Panther. So,
yeah.
So, all right, so that's the one movie that's coming out in wide release. And so now that we're done with what's coming out in the theater, we go over to Share Time. This is where Art and myself share what we've been watching or consuming, playing, all that kind of good stuff. And last episode, I was bemoaning the fact that we didn't have any voicemails. And it's not that we didn't have any voicemails. It was just the pipeline was, you know, blocked.
Yeah.
So our plumber, Tony Mast, took care of the problem, and now we have two voicemails from Tad. So we're going to play them back to back. So, Tad, what have you been up to?
Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad calling in. I'm pretty sure I called and left the voicemail earlier, and I'm pretty sure, well, maybe it wasn't before you recorded last time. I'm pretty sure it was. But I talked about seeing Jumanji and Star Wars. Really liked them both. Jumanji was a great movie. Thank you for listening to that voicemail, and I'll talk a little bit more about it. I think one thing that I mentioned, though, is that I got a movie pass, a year subscription to movie pass for Christmas. I just used it for the first time tonight, or this afternoon. I went and saw Only the Brave. It's about a hotshot crew, wild firefighters, from here in Arizona up near Prescott that got caught in a fire and died. I remember all that when it happened, and it was kind of getting towards the end. It wasn't in theaters very long. It was actually a pretty good movie, but it's, you know, one I probably wouldn't have gone and seen except that I remember it all being in the news and everything, and the guys were from pretty close around here to where I live, so about an hour or two away. So I just went and saw that, and I liked it. I don't work Monday or Tuesday next week, so I'm probably going to go see a couple more movies. The wife will be working, so I'm just going to be home by myself, so I'm going to probably go see another couple of movies on Monday and Tuesday on my movie pass, and I'll be sure to call in about it. Let's see. You guys like to talk about games. I got a new board game. I got Pandemic. I haven't played it before. I haven't played it yet, but it was on clearance at Walmart, so I picked it up. So I'll let you guys know how that goes once I've played it. All right. Guys, thanks for the great show, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad calling in with what I've been watching. Sorry I missed the last couple of weeks. I don't really have any excuse. I just missed them. Let's see. So I've been using my movie pass. I went and saw Justice League Saturday with one of my daughters. She hadn't seen it yet, and I figured, you know what, why not? Might as well go see it again. So I went and saw that. Still like it. I just don't understand why people are hating on it, but I guess I can see their points, you know. I already talked about it, but I liked it, you know. So okay, and then today, Monday, I don't work on Mondays. So I went and went and saw Pitch Perfect 3. I don't know. I like it. I would call it like a, you know, Red Box movie, or, you know, check it out, the library movie. It's pretty funny. I've kind of liked all the Pitch Perfect movies. I think they're funny. And I don't know. I just like them. They do something for me. So, let's see. So yeah, I've been really liking the Movie Pass. Let's see. What have I been watching on TV? I've just been watching, I haven't really been watching a whole lot. I've been, anyway, sorry about the ramble, and I'll talk to you guys later. If I come up with anything else, I'll call back later. All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you, Tad. Now, Art, let me ask you, do you have a MoviePass?
I do.
You've been using it?
I have. I haven't used it, it's been, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. So, but like prior to that, I had been using it pretty good. I need to get back to it, just got a little busy. But yeah, I enjoy it thoroughly.
Okay, good, good. And thank you for the report, Ted. Some interesting insight there. And we'll look forward to hearing what's the next movie that you saw with MoviePass. So, all right. Now they're done with Tad. Art, what you got?
Okay, well, I had a little bit of a slow week. Nothing groundbreaking. I am all caught up on Black Lightning. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I'm hooked back into weekly television for the time being. So I'm appreciating it. They're doing a good job with it, and I can't wait to see where it goes from here. I have watched more Killjoys. I'm thoroughly enjoying that. I'm happy that that's all just available on demand, and so I'm chewing through that as well. And I've gone back to Supergirl. I'm trying to rope Aubrey into watching it because I decided that Black Lightning is completely and totally inappropriate for her. there is that. And that's it as far as what I've been watching. I have been completely, totally, and utterly addicted to this game called War Robots. And it's just giant fighting robots blowing each other up over and over again. It's a free-to-play game. It's on iOS, on Android, and just blowing up lots of robots. And I think that's about it. Like I said, it's been a little light. I need to get out and get that Movie Pass working back out now that we're into February.
So let me ask you a question. What season of Killjoys are you in?
I'm still in the first season.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I'm just rolling along. But yeah, because I'm enjoying it.
I saw on Instagram, I guess they've started filming the next season.
Nice.
I guess they start today or whatever. All right. So it is my turn for Showtime. Okay. So, I binge-watched a show on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
It's a show that came out last Friday. And it's probably outside the wheelhouse of most our listeners. But I just love this show. So I binge-watched One Day at a Time Season 2.
Okay.
I just finished it last night. I probably enjoyed the first season a little bit better because I don't want to say it's getting predictable, but they're kind of relying on typical sitcom tropes kind of thing.
Okay.
But I'm still greatly enjoying it. I'm going to hang on a second because I got to look up the cast list here. Okay, for me, this show is just carried by Justina Machado, who plays the title character, or not the title character, but the mom of the house. Mm-hmm. Her charisma is really what keeps me coming back. And, you know, they kind of go into places that you don't usually get to outside of network television. Or I guess what I should say is they do go places that you're not going to see in network television where they talk, you know, antidepressants.
Hmm.
I learned what Latinx was.
Okay. I have no idea.
Okay. So you can say you're Latinx. When you want to when you're someone that's a Latino or a Latina, but you want to do it in a gender neutral way.
Okay.
So yeah, apparently that's a thing. But yeah, so, I enjoyed it. You know, it's a low calorie show, but I enjoy it and it's something I can watch with the family kind of thing. So, highly recommend One Day at a Time on Netflix. All right. So, I was home on Monday, and I decided to pop in my Blu-ray of Wrath of Khan. And I, as I'm wont to do, I fired up the special features on that thing. And I was shocked at learning that Nimoy did not want to be in the Star Trek movies at all. At all. And then Shatner goes on to say, hey, it was a brilliant negotiation tactic. So I guess he was trying to get more money, but, you know, it's just funny listening to him. You know, I figured I would just have to do one more because they can't keep making these Star Trek pictures. Right? And so Nicholas Meyer, who was the director, and Harve Bennett, who was the writer, you know, it just blows my mind that sometimes you get these great scripts or great movies from people that have no prior connection to the IP. No, they never watched Star Trek. Bennett went to Paramount and basically watched every episode of the original series, and he locked into Space Seed. They said that would be a good, you know, storyline to revisit, and we can get still get Ricardo Montalban.
Right.
And then they switch over to Ricardo Montalban, who was having a severe panic attack about doing this movie because he was reading the dialogue and he says, I cannot not sound like Mr. Bork. What am I going to do? I can't. I'm supposed to be a bad guy. So he went back and watched Space Seed again, and he kind of rediscovered his, you know, his where he was at in his head.
Right.
To come up with, you know, Khan.
Yeah.
And they also tell the story about, you know, the end of the movie. And the original ending was there was no, like, hopeful ending where he gets deposited on the Genesis planet. They just kind of shoot him out the torpedo tube, and that's it. That's the end of the movie. And the writer goes, I was in the theater, and we just filmed a funeral. People were crying. People were walking out with their head down. And we're like, we can't do that. We just can't. And then they came out, you know, they added the part where they were going to do the thing with the Genesis planet. And they got the idea that there's a chance, that, you know, depending on how it does, that we can bring Spock back. But another thing that came through the interview is Shatner's pretty pissed that no one told him they were doing that.
He's like, yes, I'll have it all to myself.
Well, I mean, it's not so much. It was just that I think at the 11th hour, they said, you know, we need to do one pickup scene with McCoy so you can kind of, you know, put his psyche into McCoy. But yeah, it's just mind-boggling to me that we almost didn't get, to me, is probably the most iconic and shocking death of a well-known character in film and TV.
Yeah.
I mean, because at the time, I almost feel like everybody knows Spock.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. All right. So that was Star Trek II. Didn't really watch anything else, but I am going to talk about a couple trailers that have either come out today or the past couple days. We have a trailer for Ant-Man and Wasp.
Really good.
It looks really good. What do you think of how they're doing Wasp?
I like it. I think they're doing it very well. I'm totally psyched. I that I waited entirely too long to see Ant-Man, and had nothing but regret. And so yeah, this looks really good.
Yeah, they did a good job of not telegraphing who the villain is or what the storyline is going to be, other than Ant-Man screwed up again.
Mm.
And he's under house arrest for some reason or some such.
Right, right.
And then the other trailer is for something a little less known. It's for the movie Mute, which I've heard Duncan Jones talk about, that it was kind of his pet project. And it's finally, it's on Netflix, or it's going to be on Netflix. And I'm as much of a fan as I am of Christopher Nolan, I am also a big fan of Duncan Jones. I wasn't in love with Warcraft, but I didn't really have any connection to it. But I absolutely adore his other two films, Moon and Source Code. So I'm excited. This looks very cyberpunky, and it's called Mute because the main character can't talk, at least I think. But Paul Rudd's in this too, since we were just talking about Ant-Man. So it's kind of like the Paul Rudd double feature there. So I'm excited I'm excited. It looks hard-boiled, lots of flying cars. So keep a lookout for Mute.
Okay. I did just see something for it. I saw a news article go by. I didn't look at it because I didn't know who was involved and whatnot. I really enjoyed Moon, but I haven't – obviously, I avoided World of Warcraft because I've never been a real player. And Source Code, it just seemed – I don't know. I think it was the premise that bothered me. So I might have to go back and watch that one.
No, it's good. I'm not gonna sit here and
it's the greatest skip.
I just thought I enjoyed all the performances, and I think they did a good job of putting it all together.
Right, and getting a better sense of somebody's body of work is definitely worth doing.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So that's gonna do it for share time, and so now let's get on over to news. So Art, how many tabs you got right now?
Eight, nine. But I don't think I'm reading all of these. Actually, no, one was just a placeholder to make sure I talked about Ant-Man. So I'll get rid of that one. Okay. And that'll go down to eight. And okay. Then one is related to another one. So it's just information to bring a little more light, talking about bodies of work. So really seven. So, and I'm going to lead off with AMC blasts MoviePass over cinema pullout. So in the wake of a film ticket subscription service MoviePass pulling out of 10 of the busiest AMC multiplexes around the United States, the AMC theater chain has blasted MoviePass for lying about AMC's finances. So the knives are out, people are cutting each other, and it's going to get worse. Amongst the most high-profile locations no longer being serviced are AMC Century City 15 in Los Angeles, AMC Mission Valley in San Diego, AMC River East 21 in Chicago. I've been to that theater. AMC Lowe's Boston Common in Boston Common in Boston. Yeah. These seem like – okay, wait. I'll dig into the story some more, but I'll get to what it seems like here. AMC has taken no action to block the acceptance of MoviePass at our theaters. We have no further comment about MoviePass's unilateral actions. We are, however, disappointed that MoviePass continues to make false statements about AMC, including today when MoviePass greatly exaggerated its contribution to AMC's profitability. AMC famously threatened legal action against MoviePass in August. MoviePass pays cinemas the full price for a ticket, effectively subsidizing its users' moviegoing and losing money each time they check out the film, which has led to much speculation about how sustainable their business model is. MoviePass presently has over 1.5 million subscribers. So if you remember, I reported that they had hit a million subscribers just before the beginning of the new year. So in the past month, they've added another 500,000 subscribers. So that's pretty impressive. But all these locations, they're like the very prime kind of like the AMC River East 21 in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I remember I went there, and it was probably 8-9 years ago. And back then, it was like an $18 ticket at night. Because it's just right in a very, you know, nice area of downtown Chicago, right on the river. And, you know, it's prime real estate, and they charge you a mint for those tickets. So I can see them be like, yeah, we can push our brand in other areas that isn't costing us. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's a $20 ticket nowadays in the city. So... Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm kind of scanning through this article about, and it's mainly about how is MoviePass going to make money kind of thing. Because, you know, I think we've talked about it before where they just wanted to amass their own marketing data.
Right.
That they want to sell, because usually studios do not share who's seeing what.
Right.
But in addition to that, now they I think MoviePass now has their own movie arm.
I mean, yeah, we talked about that last week.
You're talking about acquisitions, mm-hmm, kind of thing. And maybe we will start having some MoviePass exclusive movies that you have to have a MoviePass to see it.
I think that's a long way out because that subscriber base is still a little small for something like that. But if they pick up the movie and they're the distributor and they're going to get the lion's share of the money, and, you know, in the MoviePass app, they're advertising for their movie, Yeah, I could see some synergy going there. But exclusive at the theater, they'd have to have a much bigger base to make that viable.
Yeah, it says MoviePass subscription model is just the first sledgehammer blow. He envisioned certain films being exclusive to MoviePass members on their open weekends and bringing the binging experience to the big screen. And why not live sports? Why not YouTube clips between films? U.S. box office hit a three-year low in 2017, despite rising ticket prices. The system, Lowe argues, isn't working. Why not try something new?
Yeah.
The theater's excuse that they had a declining year and that they blame it on content is kind of an abdication of a good retailer to identify the change in what customers are interested in. And if that works, MoviePass envisions a future in which it partners not just with movie theaters and studios, but with restaurants, bars, ice cream shops, and anyone else that might benefit from the subscriber data it amasses. Or this could all go in the toilet really fast. So, all right. Okay, so what's happening on Sunday, Art?
I know. Is it Super Bowl Sunday?
It's Super Bowl Sunday. And I know you don't care about the game.
I do a little bit. I'll explain, but go ahead. You tell me first.
No, please explain.
Okay, so I got the guy I do my Skype role-playing game with, Terry, who I know from Fear the Con, and he's here in Texas as well. He's in this group called Geek Speak, and they're just, you know, geeks who just – it's just a random group of, you know, 100 or so closely affiliated people who just like to talk about geeky things. So they do these challenges from time to time, and it's very random. I didn't really know what it was, you know, but so they're doing the 30-day Harry Potter challenge for the month of February. And – so the person was organizing. I'm like, what exactly is it? You know, I'm trying to see whether or not I want to do it. And she's like, I don't really. She's like, well, it's just, you know, it's this. She keeps being very vague about it. I'm like, please stop being vague. I don't know what you're talking about. And she's like, well, it's like these other challenges. I'm like, I've never done a challenge. I only just joined the group. And she's like, oh, so she finally got it. And she explained it to me. And so it's just, it's not really, I don't know how much of a challenge it's going to end up being. It kind of pits teams against each other, and it's asking for opinions and discussing geeky things. It seems very interesting. So this month is Harry Potter, and they are so we got sorted into houses. I ended up in House Slytherin. Don't ask me how that happened. I don't approve, but whatever. I'm in for it. So she's tying it in with the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday. So that each house is going to two houses are going to root for two teams each, and two houses are each going to represent one team.
Right.
Okay. And so we're going to pick which team we're going to represent. We're figuring that out now. We're discussing it on Facebook. And she's going to score it sort of like a Quidditch game, you know, with touchdowns being worth a bunch of points and, you know, just a whole bunch of things. And so I don't have a team yet. When I do, I will have somewhat of a small modicum of a vested interest in who wins the game and how they do it. I probably still won't watch, but so I will. As soon as I figure out which team House Slytherin is backing, I will have a vested interest in that team doing better.
Okay, so let me ask you this: for people that don't watch the game, what else do they have to look forward to?
Commercials.
Commercials, and what kind of commercials that might benefit the people that listen to this podcast?
I don't know.
Trailers.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay, so what kind of movie trailers can we expect during Super Bowl? Well, Dark Horizons is going to tell us. All right, so it looks like we're going to get a short trailer for Mission Impossible Fallout, which is the sixth Mission Impossible film. Another Paramount title, A Quiet Place, directed by John Krasinski. I've seen that trailer before where everyone's quiet.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have a little action during a Monopoly game, as you do. Another thing is The Rock is in another film, Skyscraper.
Mm.
And so we'll probably get a trailer for Skyscraper. In addition to that, we'll probably also see, I don't know if it's a new trailer, probably the same trailer for Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Of course, we're going to see a Black Panther. We might have already seen the Black Panther ad that ties in with Lexus, but we're crossing our fingers that maybe we'll see something Incredibles 2, something Infinity War, but really the most likely that we're going to see something about Solo.
Yes.
All right.
And more the new Crocodile Dundee movie that isn't really a movie.
So, yeah, there's that Cloverfield that some people are saying it's called God Particle. Some other people are saying it's called Cloverfield Station. And strangely, Warner Brothers, Fox, and Sony do not have a horse in the race. Means that we're not going to see any trailers for any of their films. So that's okay. That's what you can expect during the Super Bowl on Sunday. All right, Art, what you got next?
Okay, so I will follow up with Luc Besson to direct several Netflix films. Netflix is in discussions with Luc Besson's Europa Corp to have the famed French filmmaker direct and produce several films for the streaming giant over the next few years. The projects would be Netflix originals and would be each budgeted in the $30 million range. The deal could also see Netflix buy into Europa Corp's library, which has an estimated value of $186 million and includes Taken, Taxi, and Transporter franchises. Apparently they like teas. Europa Corp is struggling to climb out from under a heavy debt load estimated at $285 million as of September, and since then potential buyers and investors are circling, with Netflix now amongst them. Besson is currently filming Anna with Helen Mirren, and I just pulled up. I wanted to see exactly which of his movies I've seen, and so we've got a great filmography here: La Femme Nikita, Leon the Professional, The Fifth Element. More recent, we have Lucy and Valerian and the City of Thousand Planets. What I did not realize is that he directed Arthur and the Invisibles. And there have since been two follow-ups to Arthur and the Invisibles that either were mainly released in Europe or were direct to DVD. And now I need to go look for them. So Arthur and the Great Adventure, 3 years later in 2009, and Arthur III, The War of Two Worlds in 2010. They have to be direct to DVD with them back to back like that. But yeah. So yeah, just something I need to look into, because I really enjoyed the first Arthur and the Invisibles, and it has nothing to do with it being a namesake.
All right. So my last story is going to be Tomorrowland caused Tron 3 collapse. And this is kind of an interesting story to me, because I heard a different story from the director who was getting gearing up to start to do Tron 3, and according to him, that's when Disney bought Lucasfilm, and they scrapped all current production plans because they wanted to, full speed ahead on Star Wars.
Right.
But this account comes from Garrett Hedlund, who played Flynn's son in the second movie. He says that it didn't get made because Tomorrowland pretty much tanked. And he said, okay, here's a quote. He was on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast, and he said, when the next Tron was supposed to start, we were greenlit and ready to go, and then Disney had troubles with how Tomorrowland did. And I think they asked them to give them like 100 reasons why they should do Tron 3. And if that didn't fall through, I never would have been able to work with Steven Soderbergh on Mosaic. So he's probably not really that sad about it. But I would have liked to see a Tron 3, so I'm a little bit sad about that. There is a rumor that Disney is working on a Tron reboot with Jared Leto in the title role.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So there's that.
I really enjoyed Tron Legacy.
I did too.
I was sad it didn't go anywhere further. But, with the amount of time they had between the first Tron and Tron Legacy, maybe it's just fated that we're going to wait a long time before we get a third one.
Right.
Okay. I've got a couple of things here, and I don't know. I'm going to start with the smallest one. Bill Nighy added to Detective Pikachu, so they are just going all out. Everybody and their mom is getting in on this. Last week we were talking about here. I was surprised to hear Ken Watanabe was involved, and so I can't wait to see who else gets added in to be in this Detective Pikachu movie. I can't wait to see what this is going to look like, a live-action Pokemon movie. And then I'm going to ask, are you familiar either with The Kingkiller Chronicle or Birthright?
I'm going to say no and no.
No and no. Okay. I've heard of both of these things. I've never read either one of them. So Birthright was an Image comic, and it basically is the story of a family whose young son vanishes without a trace, and a year later, this fully grown Conan-like man comes back claiming to be him. He went to this strange land where he grew up. There was a god king he had to slay in that world or defeat, and now he's back. And I was really into Image Comics at one time, and I think this is something I'd like to go back and pick up. But they're only just adapting it right now. The scribes who worked on Despicable Me are working on the adaptation. So it'll be interesting to see where, if anywhere, this goes. And then the other one, Sam Raimi, is to helm The Kingkiller Chronicles. And that is based on Patrick Rothfuss' trilogy, which starts with, where's the name? The Name of the Wind. And the only reason I've heard of The Name of the Wind is I have a Pairs deck from Cheap Ass Games that is based on The Name of the Wind. Hmm. And so that was the first time I heard about it. It's pretty well known and acclaimed in certain fantasy circles. And so that's another one I think I'd be interested in checking out. And I guess that will wrap up share time for this week. And that's share time news.
Yes, it will also wrap up news. And it will also wrap up this episode of Backseat Box Office. So for everyone still listening, thank you for joining us. The website is backseatproducers.com, where you can find episodes of this show and the other show, which is more of a traditional movie review podcast. You can also leave comments on our episodes. We have a voicemail number. You can leave voicemails like Tad. And we're also on Twitter, at Better in the Back, or you can send something to Art directly, Art Santos Jr., or I am at JB63. So other than that, everybody, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time. Art, what do you have to say?
Goodbye, everybody.